Hey everyone, I'm Annie Tevlin, founder of Skin Owl Skincare and your host of Off the Record, the podcast. What began as my search for meaningful dialogue in a diluted space has evolved into a magnetic epicenter of entrepreneurs, wellness experts, and influencers presenting vulnerability in a truly raw and transparent way. Join me every Monday as my guests and I dive deep into universal truths by way of humor, heartache, and hope. Now it's just you and me. I respect your privacy. What happens here will never leave this room. So lock the door, pull me in, put a finger to my lips, 'cause I can't say I know what I would do. Off the record with you. Off the record with you. Back in August, I had the honor of having LA-based yogi and mantra mentor Ava Johanna in the studio to record one of my most memorable podcasts. A few weeks later, Ava asked me to come on her podcast, The Alchemized Life, and talk about Skin Owl, the twists and turns, the challenges, and my incredibly frustrating journey with cystic acne, which eventually spawned my decision to create a skincare line that would help other people just as much as it helped me. What I loved most about this podcast was that it covered a lot and connected the dots. Ava has a way of making you feel so incredibly comfortable in your own skin as you open up about the hard stuff. For example, how my acne insecurities turned into dating insecurities, how my laser focus on building a business was the catalyst to missing red flags in my first marriage, ultimately leading to a divorce, and how my longing to leave a mark on the world brought out an entrepreneurial side I never thought I had. For these reasons and more, I wanted to share this conversation with all of you today, because in the end, we are always the product of our entire journey, the accumulation of all of our decisions, and I couldn't be more in awe of what a trip life really is. So without further ado, here is my conversation with the amazing Ava Johanna on her podcast, The Alchemized Life. I hope you love it. Enjoy. That is the response. I think I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think you're ever, I think some people might feel like a pro. I don't. I just know that I'm marching in the direction of what I think would is going to make me happy and is going to end up on the good side of history and be a good influence on people.
This is the Alchemized Life podcast, and I am your host, Ava Johanna, transformational mentor, speaker, teacher, and most importantly, a woman on a mission to bring wellness to the world. This podcast was created to bridge the gap for anyone craving more love, health, and happiness in each and every day. And with every episode, you will receive practical guidance to create magic in your own life. Combining the expertise of wellness visionaries and thought leaders, each week we will bring it back to basics and provide you with the tools meant to empower you to thrive emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So together, let's ditch the mean girl, you can't sit with us vibes, grab your favorite yoga pants, and start to find your uniquely alchemized life. You guys, welcome back to the Alchemized Life podcast. Your smile is so big. I'm sitting here with Annie Tevlin, the founder of Skin Owl and the Parliament Project. I am so excited that we're both sitting on my super comfy cloud couch and yes, about to have a super juicy conversation.
Yes, we are.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh my God, you're a light. Honestly, it's an honor and I'm so happy that I just get to sit here with you barefoot and talk about life.
Isn't it so nice?
Yes.
The power of podcasting, like we were saying, like it's so simple. We can just sit here with these cheap little mics on a super comfy couch. No one needs to know anything else. Like, that's it. We're here.
And we can connect.
Exactly. I love it. So on the topic of connection, one of the things when I was just like, holy shit, like I need to get her on the podcast was after the Parliament Project. And so for those that are listening, we're going to talk about Skin Owl too, but I first want to talk about the Parliament Project because I was just blown away by this community that you've cultivated and how special it was. So can you just share with listeners what the Parliament Project is?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll break down the name first because people are like, I don't get it. So a parliament, much like a school of fish, a parliament is a group of owls. And so that obviously is like, it descends from my main brand, Skin Owl, which is the skincare line. So a parliament is a group of owls, a project is a work in progress, and that's kind of how I see all of the attendees, is these are all people who are living life, doing the best that they can, but caught up in the day-to-day, chaos and social media distraction, and it has cultivated its own demographic, which is these are people that are curious about life. These are people that want to feel the best that they could possibly feel. And it's people that want to connect with people in real life. And that's the main thing. So what people can expect is every 2 months, we send out an invite. It's like a secret location, always a different pop-up location around LA. We do have applicants from all over the United States. And when we have enough applicants and enough bandwidth, we will be traveling to then have Parliament Projects pop up in New York, San Francisco, Portland, so on. But it's like a dinner collective. And you come, and the flow is you come, there's open bar, farm to table food served by Kara Elise. We have a huge, like, we have like 13 to 15 sponsors, so people can come in and literally get like the best goodie bag ever. And then there's a 90-minute psychological workshop that is, it ranges from active listening to the one that we did last time was nobody introduced themselves by name, and then we sat in different groups and people broke out into groups and you had to essentially write a little bit about yourself, Q&A style, and then the people next to you answered the same questions about you without knowing you. And it was all about your perception of yourself versus the perception that other people have of you. And it was gnarly. I mean, honestly, you were there. So, and it's just like a way for people to just chill and like connect like we used to, you know, back in the old days, like, and get offline. And it's a slow burn, you know. The inclusion of the Parliament Project in people's lives is enough of an influence that we have seen dramatic changes happen from the attendees. So they get out of that shitty relationship, or they leave that job, or they have their own back, or they self-advocate. And it's pretty cool to watch the trajectory of how the attendees' lives goes.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it was such a breath of fresh air going to it. And I thought it was so cool. Like, no cell phones. No one even knows your name. You're just there at this party. And like, you get to be, it was like fully unjudged. You just show up. You don't talk about what you do. You just get to like have meaningful conversations. And so what I liked about it was that it kind of like cut through the bullshit really quickly.
Yes.
You know, there wasn't any conversation like, oh, so what do you do? Or where do you live? Or anything like that. It was like, let's talk about the deep, real shit that all of us want to talk about, but we're mostly too scared to, or like intimidated to, in our normal day-to-day coffee dates and whatnot.
Absolutely. And your friends have so much contextual evidence about your life. You know, they've been around for the guy that broke your heart and then you went back, or they've been around for the job that you keep complaining about, and maybe they don't have the bandwidth to keep listening, right? There's like all of these things that create a sense of freedom when you go to the Parliament Project, because they're all strangers and these people don't know you from Eve. And so you're able to sometimes be more honest and more open and more vulnerable around people. It has the opposite effect. I think people go in thinking, these are, oh my God, like, this is like a room of strangers and I don't know anybody. And like, I'm not going to open up in front of these people. And then very quickly, it's like-minded people all in the same room who all, I mean, at the end of the day, we all just want to be held and validated and loved. And so that room champions that. And LA is a weird city to meet people. So it functions really well in a city where people aren't incredibly, how can I say this? I mean, it's social. We're all out and about, but we don't connect with people.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's very short lived. So if you're looking for new friends or a new posse or whatever, like, Parliament Project's awesome for that too.
Yeah. And like, on that note too, it's like the demographic there, yes, like-minded people. You also mentioned, you know, everyone that's there is supposed to be there and we're all connected in some sort of way, which is really cool. It's also not just like a bunch of mid-20-year-olds. Like, it's the demographic as far as like age goes, it's a full range of people, which I thought was really cool, because then you get to learn so much too. Like, you can learn from any person if you like really open up your mind to. And I think
Absolutely.
That it breaks down those barriers for us to be open enough to have those conversations. And also in a way that's like accessible, you know, like there's so many wellness events that you go to and it's like just all vegan food or no alcohol or anything like that. And it's like, this is just a bomb ass dinner. Like, you can drink if you want to, but there's also options if you don't want to.
Yep.
Beautiful cheese platters or charcuterie boards by Kara.
Kara.
I have her toast book right over there too.
Yes, she's a legend.
But like, there's no, I guess, there isn't the pressure to have to conform to anything that you're not. Like, you get to come as you are. And I think that it really creates that safe container for you to feel comfortable.
I think, like, in starting a skincare brand, and especially one that helped so many people with acne, because that's what motivated me to start Skin Owl, the narrative was not just about, I feel like shit about my skin. It was, because I have bad skin, I'm insecure. Because I have bad skin, I haven't dated in a while. Right? There's all of these. I was starting to see how your skin and your looks and the way that you feel about yourself could spiral into other feelings that were unsavory. And so the Parliament Project was an initial direct reaction to, you know, our customer service wise, we're not just getting emails about people having acne. The conversation very often turns into these psychological conversations with our customers about, like, you know, what do I do, like, about the way that I feel, and like, I wish that I had a little bit more get up and go, or whatever it is. And it was like, you know what, is there a way to connect with people or have people lean on Skin Owl for additional support other than just a face oil? And while a face oil is wonderful and helps, is there a way that we can, like, you know, go a little bit deeper? And the Parliament Project has proven that people need that. And especially in nowadays, like, there's a void, you know, in the world in terms of, like, real connection and really dialing down. And like what you're saying, it's not all vegan food. We're not trying to play by the rules. Like, it's just a day or a night for you to feel a sense of freedom. And you want to eat the gluten, eat the gluten. You don't want to eat, don't. You know what I mean? You want to drink, you want to get bombed, people do. You know, if you just kind of want to, like, go there and just completely zen out and be a part of the workshop and do the meditation, which you led last time, that was so amazing. Like, you, the Parliament Project can be whatever you want it to be. And that's what's cool about it.
Yeah, it's super cool. And I love that it's an extension of your brand based off of what you were hearing from people. It wasn't just like I'm going to start this. It's like, there's a need here for this.
Yeah.
I want to hear more about your personal journey and how you started Skin Owl. You mentioned acne. Was it specifically you dealing with acne and the insecurities that you were facing?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I kind of missed the boat in high school in terms of acne. I was a really competitive swimmer. So maybe it was the chlorine. I don't know. But I never went through acne.
It wasn't a fun boat to be on.
My brother went through it. Literally everybody I know went through it. And I was just kind of like, you know, like, I kind of cruised past it. And then I was born and raised in Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia area. And moved to the West Coast, moved to LA when I was 23, straight out of college. I was a film major. I was going to work in music videos, and I wanted to be a music video director, and moved to LA and worked in that industry for about 5 years. And, you know, the timeline is essentially the whole industry fell apart because of copyright infringement, and like, record labels had no money to do music videos anymore. So I left the entertainment industry after about 5 years in LA. And in that time, I had shadowed makeup artists on set, and I had gotten headhunted by Lancôme to work with them. And from someone who, like, swam every day and, you know, was pretty minimalist, then going to wearing a full face of makeup every day, not to mention, I learned a lot from Lancôme, but the ingredient deck is not one to be, you know, raising the roof over. So the products, my skin just did not agree with the ingredient deck. It was a lot of fragrance. My skin was so sensitive. And I mean, I tell people I felt like I was like the reigning member of the Proactive commercials. I was just like, I mean, it was all over my face, my neck, my jaw, my chin, my back, my chest. Like, I had cystic acne literally like in the course of like a week.
Wow.
And there would maybe be one or two good days in the month where I'd be like, oh my God, my makeup can cover all of this and I feel confident. And the rest of the month was a shit show. So, you know, I decided to go back to school. The acne, I tried a lot of products. Obviously, when you work for Lancôme, you have a lot of friends that work for a lot of different companies. And everybody gave me all these things and products to try, and went to dermatologists, and I was about a millimeter from going on Accutane. And I'll just never forget it, like going online and looking up like cosmetic chemistry to see how to make my own products. And maybe there was like a void out there. Like maybe there was another way or a different type of product that could help my skin. And UCLA had a program in their extension program. And I went through the program 3 times and learned so much about what goes into our products, ingredients, what really helps acne. You know, I think for a long time I was like taking my face off with salicylic acid and benzoyl peroxide and peels. And if it said brightening, resurfacing, or acne on it, I was using all of them daily.
Same. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had like the oily sheen because my, literally my skin was like over lubricating itself. It was literally over lubricating itself to like offset the amount of stripping agents that I was putting on it. So my mind exploded from that class. I learned so much about it. I took to my kitchen and started making products. The first product I ever created, it's like, it's still the exact same strains of oils, essential oils, ingredients, like formulations have not changed since 5 years ago. And I had a Facebook group at the time that was called Skin Owl, and that was my alter ego. I was the Skin Owl. I was like the voice of, I was the messenger of wisdom in a very confusing industry. And so people would sign on to this private group, and like I would invite you, and then you could invite someone, and it was all invite only. And I would give people advice. We would do daily mantras. We would like, it was such a sister and brotherhood. It was like such an amazing time to be a part of social media because it was before Instagram, and like it was just, it was crazy. It was a moment in time, and I showed someone in the group, like I announced to the group, like, hey, I made this product. It's called Geranium Beauty, you know, beauty drops. I don't know. Here's my before and afters, and people freaked out. And I mean, people were like, can I PayPal you for this? I'd like to give, I got rid of my acne in like 32 days with that product.
Wow.
And so that was the beginning of Skin Owl. I like wrangled my best friend who was a graphic artist. I was like, we need a fucking logo and we need a landing page and we need like all of these things. And we just had like a landing page with a PayPal checkout. And wow. We had this one product, the geranium, it was called Argan Infusion back in the day. And that was the beginning. And honestly, it's just, I wish I could say I had business experience or I had a trust fund. It was a lot of credit card debt in the beginning. It was, you know, if you got the money, spend it. If you don't got the money, don't spend it. Mm-hmm. And it was all on things like labels and amber bottles and eyedroppers. And the first person I hired was my publicist, you know, and this was all over the course of like the first 2 years. So it was like, it just was, I don't know. Sometimes in life, it just pulls you in the direction of something that's meant to be, and you don't really know how you got there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I am looking around my house right now thinking the same exact thing. I think it's when we're in alignment with what we're meant to be doing, where the universe conspires to put us in the right direction and puts the right people in our lives, and, you know, has the right invitations coming of like someone saying like, how can I PayPal you, of like that little nudge of like, oh, confirmation that this is something bigger and that I should continue to follow this. So I think that that's really cool. And I love just this progression of it all. It's very, as like trendy as this word is, it's just very organic.
Yes.
And I think that that's really cool when we can find those things.
Yeah. It's crazy. I can't believe it's happened. I mean, if somebody had asked me years ago, do you think you'll be an entrepreneur? And do you think you'll have acne? And do you think you'll start this skincare line? Absolutely not. I mean, like, that's what's so crazy about life and so beautiful, is at any moment you can answer the call and it can literally pivot everything and give you something that is so hard and so challenging, but also so fulfilling. And it helps. So it has helped so many people. And I didn't set out to have a empire or a skincare business. I just set out to help my own skin. You're, and like, then in turn it wound up helping so many others.
You're like, I set out to get rid of my back knee.
I mean, let's be clear. Girl can't be walking around with back knee at 28.
But I think that I think that that is so cool. And that's like why, I think a reason why it's probably as successful as it is because there wasn't that expectation there. It was just like continuing to just do and create and help people and serve. And same thing with Parliament Project. It's just in service. It's not in, you know, pursuit of money or fame or anything like that. It's how can I take these things that have really helped me and now expose it to other people?
Yeah. And I'm so happy I wasn't like given a ton of money in the beginning, or that I didn't even have a lot of money. I mean, I was on unemployment and I was walking dogs for cash, and that's what funded Skin Owl. So it's like, and I was helping people with social media. A few brands that I'm sure they probably maybe wouldn't want me to say that now, but few brands that were starting off, I did all their social media the first year or two in the green beauty world. So I knew, you know what I mean? Because of the Facebook group, I was able to kind of speak the social language. And it was just such a crazy time. I think, like, I don't know if that could happen again now. You know, I don't know if Skin Owl could start the same way now, but I'm so happy that not having a lot of money in the beginning and not taking funding has allowed me to grow the brand slowly. Mm-hmm. And so from that, it's like, grow your brand slowly. I tell people that all the time. Slow and steady wins the race. Because when you grow it slowly, then you know what you're growing and you know where you want your business to go. Whereas in the beginning, sometimes when people come across a lot of money or a lot of funding, they're like, oh, we got to get into Sephora, we got to get into Target, or we got to do this, or we got to like grow. And that's not always maybe in alignment with the type of entrepreneur you should be.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you should slow down and take your time and figure out what this company represents, mm-hmm. and then act accordingly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Corey works in crowdfunding, so he's dealing with people that just have a bunch of venture capitalists behind them or a ton of money and investors that have a single idea for a product, and then they think that, you know, it's the end all be all, and most of the products that go through crowdfunding and end up actually not being a hit, you know. Yep. And so it's really interesting to see that, and I think that that's great advice. It's like the things that we like really prep and like take our time to nurture, and I think that this goes for whether we're looking at like a business or like your own personal health.
Yes,
like that's the stable and like it's the stable way to do it, so you're not, you know, exploding too quickly or putting yourself in a situation where you step back and you're like, well, maybe I wasn't even meant to be here in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, I've always said this about relationships too. It's like in too fast, out too fast. Any relationship that was like hot and heavy and went in super fast, usually it comes out. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. usually like, and that relationship just fizzled. It's the same way with growing this business. It's just, I don't even know what I'm doing. You know what I mean? I had acne and I created a product and it worked for me, and now I'm selling it to people. What in the hell am I doing? So like the first year is a bunch of that. The second year is like, I think I know what I'm doing. And every year after that, that is the response. I think I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think you're ever, I think some people might feel like a pro. I don't. I just know that I'm marching in the direction of what I think is going to make me happy and is going to end up on the good side of history and be a good influence on people.
So I want to talk to you about acne, because that's something that I've struggled with my entire life. Well, not entire life, but since, you know, I could actually develop cystic acne, I've had it, and I've gone through the ringer of trying products, just as I'm sure you, as you mentioned, like you have, if it said brightening, if it said like, you know, remove hyperpigmentation, acne, I've probably bought it. It's probably sitting on my counter right now. And so what were the alarming, I guess, things that you learned when you were going through school and developing your line of products?
Yeah, I think first of all, I grew up in a time where I witnessed my mother using a series of products, right? Like the Cliniques, the Estee Lauders, the Lancomes, you had your morning cleanser, your night cleanser, your morning serum, your night serum, your morning. I mean, like, there was probably like 8 or 9 products that you were supposed to buy every 6 weeks to get you through your skincare regimen. So not only were you spending a shit ton of money, but you were bringing on an entire regimen at once before you knew whether or not one of those things was going to break you out. And then how it would go is then I would witness my mother or, you know, grandmother or whatever use these things, or myself, then I adopted that. And then I had like the 7-step regimen from Clinique or one of these places. And then I'd be like, oh, my skin's breaking out. Well, I can't use Clinique anymore. And the one thing that my schooling taught me is to bring in one product at a time. Mm. So what if six out of the seven products from that brand are working, but one isn't because there's a sunscreen in it and your skin gets super clogged from titanium dioxide, whatever. You should remove that. But we're buying things and consuming things at such rapid, levels now that we're not actually, like, we want the whole regimen and all the packaging looks so cool. So we want to bring it all into our medicine cabinet. And the reality is that, like, we need to be a little bit more discerning and have a little bit more patience and bring one of those things in. See how your skin responds for literally 21 to 28 days, then bring in the second one. You know, a lot of products are retroactive too. I'm sure you've experienced this where you try it for 2 weeks, it's amazing, and then all of a sudden your skin goes back to breaking out. So it's about having active ingredients that work and continue to work over time, but also having balancing ingredients and healing ingredients. And, you know, kind of at the risk of sounding redundant, the ingredients and the products that we have always flocked to, and I'll share my, I mean, I'm 38 years old, so I grew up in high school in the 90s, and everything was like, oh my God. I mean, I would put isopropyl alcohol on my skin.
I used to do that too.
You know what I mean? I would clean my ears with it, and then I would put it on a pimple, and I would use toothpaste, or I would use Sea Breeze, which was like, literally it was like, I could probably wash my floor with it. And everything was brightening, resurfacing, peel, salicylic, you know, glycolic. I mean, there was nothing in there that was pure plant oils. There was nothing in there that was aloe or, you know, subbing out something so harsh for maybe a witch hazel or Irish moss or something else. Like, the green, natural, clean beauty sector has brought in a myriad of ingredients that are very active, but also, you know, sustainable for your skin and sustainable for the earth. So, for me, it's about getting rid of all of those acne fighters, and really looking at what the skin needs. And for me, pure plant oils literally changed my skin. Not to get on a soapbox about it, but the inclusion of argan oil in my world, like, changed everything, because it was antiviral, antibacterial, and it mimicked my natural skin's, you know what I mean? Like sebum. Mm-hmm. So it was recognizable to my skin. And that was the most counterintuitive thing ever, because talk to me when I was 16, 17 years old, there's no way in hell I'm putting something like an oil on my face when I have acne. So I think that class debunked a lot of myths, and just allowed me to have a little bit more patience with my skin and say, okay, I'm breaking out today. It's a week before my period. It's like a little crazy right now. Pregnancy has been a great experience because it's made my skin a little bit more unpredictable. And I'm able to go in with one product at a time, test it out, give it a second, and then go back in with the toner, or then go back in with the serum or whatever it is. And that's been a game changer.
Yeah, I feel like that's such a good point. What are your thoughts then on the standard facial spa experience where you go and get a facial from an esthetician, they pull out 8 different products then? Like, how can we, because for me, I'm always like, oh, okay, well, if the esthetician is recommending it, then it must be good because they went to school and they know everything. And so then that's when I get pulled into buying everything. Like, honestly, the last time that I got a facial on Sunday, and I was going and I'm like, I'm just going to tell her I'm not interested in any products. I'm going to say that. And then at the end, I'm like, okay, well, I'll just buy these probiotics.
Right. Because, like, at the end of your facial, your skin looks amazing. So then you want all the things that they used. I think a couple things are in play. Number one, most traditional, like, facial houses are backed by a retail. You know what I mean? There is retail there. And there's probably pressure put on those estheticians to sell it. Mm-hmm. So not only are they using the back bar items to do whatever they're doing to your face, but then at the end of it, it's like, of course they're going to make suggestions. So there's 7 or 8 or 9 products being used so that maybe you buy one or two. So there's a retail push, I think, there. And I know that just from my experience working in retail that was asked of me. The other thing is, I think it's not necessarily a bad thing to go to a facialist and have her you know, cleanse your skin, steam your skin, extract, use, you know, a toner, a serum, a mask, all these things, because a facial is supposed to be a little bit more, like it's almost like a deep clean versus just like a surface clean.
Right.
But if you're at home and you're using all of those things on a daily basis, the facial might not work in the same way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. If you're at home and you're washing your face, you're using a moisturizer, maybe sunscreen every so often, maybe an eye cream, and then you go and get that kind of treatment at a facial house, you're going to be like, oh my God, my skin looks amazing because it was just extracted or exfoliated for the first time in 3 months, or oh my God, a moisturizing mask. My skin finally has, like, you know, the moisture reserves are back where they should be. A lot of people are very savvy. You know, the people that are going to the facial houses are also people that own half the Sephora. So they're doing all of that kind of stuff at home, and then they're going to the facialist and they're getting like a peel 24 hours after they just did one at home. Mm-hmm. So I think that, yeah, that really comes down to someone's, like, we need to be a little bit more under control in terms of, like, when we book our facials, but based on what we're doing at home. And I think the facialist needs to ask you questions like, what do you use in your regimen?
Yeah.
Like, not just write it on the piece of paper, but have a conversation with you. Like, what do you do daily? Don't leave anything out. What do you use daily? And then customize the facial from there.
Yeah. I like that. It's so true. And I never even thought about it that way of like, you are kind of, when you have like a 10 step regimen that takes you 30 minutes in the morning and 30 minutes at night, of course, like if you're treating your skin like that every day, your facials aren't going to be quite as like impactful as, and like have that like wow factor that you would assume that they would have. And then I think often that creates this idea that we need to go for the like more intense treatment then,
yes.
You know?
Yep. Less is more, honestly. Like, I love all the bells and whistles. I'm obsessed with it. Like, it's my line of work, and it's so fun to go to the store and buy something new and be like, is this going to be the product that, you know what I mean? Like, changes the way that I feel about my skin and myself. I mean, that's always the underlying thing.
Yeah.
The lip gloss, the nail polish. It's these small, affordable luxuries that can actually change the way that we feel about ourselves. So for me, it's like, can I keep things really simple at home? Can I, you know, I splash my face with water in the morning. I don't use a cleanser. I let the oils from the night stay on my skin. I use like a rose water mist or our lemongrass beauty mist. I do the geranium beauty drops. That's it. And then I put on a little bit of eye cream. Maybe if I'm feeling a little puffy, I'll use some tools. I'll use the beauty wand. I'll use whatever. You know what I mean? Some of the stuff to get the lymph going and to make my face feel a little bit more contoured and awake. Fine. That's it. Then at night, it's pretty much the same thing, just adding in a cleanser. Mm-hmm. And then I save like the body oils and the neck treatments and the peels and the, you know, masks and all of that kind of stuff for like twice a week. I mean, I don't use, if it says use daily, I don't. If there's like a glycolic or a retinol, or I don't use it daily. And they'll recommend you to, because sometimes they just want you to get through the bottle so you buy more. But keep all of those special products for, like, I would even say like once, now that we're going into summer, like once a week, use it and let your skin have time to build back up dry skin. Because if you're constantly exfoliating by way of an exfoliating cleanser, a peel, a retinol, a salicylic acid, any kind of acid pretty much, a benzoyl peroxide, a topical treatment, like any kind of spot treatment, your skin doesn't have time to then start over and have dry skin. So if you're exfoliating on top of exfoliating on top of exfoliating, your skin is not only going to become more oily in ways that it shouldn't, because your skin is literally lubricating itself to say stop, but it results in an overproduction of sebum, and you're exfoliating, especially if you have scarring. You can sometimes at a certain point create extra scarring with the amount that you're manually or granularly exfoliating your skin.
That's that's interesting because, you know, the first thing that they tell you when you go, I went through like an acne boot camp, which I actually do believe in. The products did help me with my skin. And then it's been like also diet and stuff. So I want to ask you in a second about your 32 days of clearing your skin. But it's interesting because the first thing they tell you is don't pick your face. Like, yep. If you have, don't pick at your pimples, of course. And so that was like the thing. I'm like, okay, perfect. So I won't have any scarring anymore because I don't pick my pimples. But I still see it come up on my face. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yes.
And it makes total sense. It's because I keep freaking scrubbing away at it, even if it's not like a, because I think oftentimes people think that an exfoliator means that you have some like hard, you know, scrubby thing, but like, no, your salicylic toner or the serum that you put on that has acid in it, like that's exfoliating your skin too.
Absolutely. I tell people all the time, like, you know, like BYO makeup bag essentially to some of our events, because I want to see the ingredient decks on all of these products, because people are like, well, no, I mean, there's not like sugar or salt in this or oatmeal. Like there's no, this isn't exfoliating. And I'll be like, there's retinol, there's a vitamin A, there's a retinol palmitate, there's salicylic, there's, I mean, even like light exfoliators, you know what I mean? Can work. Like it's, if your skin is constantly being exfoliated, it feels smooth. It'll look shiny. Makeup will probably go on nice, but over time, very quickly, you're going to get dehydrated. You're going to see a flakiness and you're going to be like, I don't understand. You're going to look fatigued, and you're not, especially if you're not wearing sunscreen, you've now just exfoliated your skin, or you're using a vitamin C during the day. You've now created like a photo response to your skin where the sun is essentially taking a snapshot of anything that's living on your face and deepening it by color. Mm. So it's, you know, it's like, there's so much conflicted information out there, and there's so many people being like, do this, do this, do this. Now here I am being like, no, do this. It's really just about going back to basics and like giving your skin an opportunity to start over. And that takes a lot of, you know, discipline to do that. Nobody wants to be like, no, I'm going to use my product tonight. But over the course of years, when these people are 60, 70 years old, you're going to have thin skin because of how much you exfoliated it, that's like hanging.
Yeah.
So listen, kids.
I mean, it's funny because it's like we all get so frustrated because our boyfriends will like just splash cold water on their face and have perfect glowing skin. And it's like, well, maybe we should take a page out of their book.
Yep.
And just like take a step back for a second. Yep. And I think it's also like as challenging and disciplined as it is to say, okay, I'm going to go back to basics. It's also nice. Like what else can you do with those extra 10, 15 minutes in your morning or in your evening? Why don't you create another nice ritual that helps get to the bottom of like why you feel like you have to validate yourself through products? Or, and I'm like saying this to myself, not everyone listening, this is like totally a note to self, but like, why don't you take that time to journal and like figure out why your self-worth is so rooted in your external external appearance, rather than like lathering yourself with products saying this is gonna be what fixes me.
Totally. And listen, I mean, we all want to look good, you know. I think that that's okay. I think it's okay to have an ego and to be like, I want to have good skin, I want to look like that glowing person in the magazine. Like, I don't know if the goal for me or for Skin Owl is to shut that down in people and be like, you know, maybe don't worry about your skin so much and like spend time doing other things that empower you. Like, I definitely hope for that. But at the end of the day, if you are having problems with your skin, it's so loud and it doesn't go away. And you want to be that person who can just throw on a tinted moisturizer and bop out the door. And not everybody gets that in life.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't get that in life for years. And I think if we are, you know, Google's a great place. Like, Google a product and just say like, can I use this daily? Or look at an ingredient deck. And if you don't understand something on the back of an ingredient deck, look it up and say effects of daily use of retinol palmitate. And if all of a sudden you're seeing like, oh yeah, that's happening to me. Like, you can be your own. The internet allows us to be our own doctor in that sense, in a certain way, or at least our own detective.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're mindful with the information and don't let it like completely take over you. So your process of getting clear.
I mean, I love that. Yeah. I will say that.
So you integrated the oil and can you share like what the regimen was for you?
Yeah. I mean, my gosh, it's so crazy to think back. I was using
probably 8 or 9 products. I mean, pretty much anything. I would go to Sephora and I would look at products that were touted as radiance boosting or glow boosting, and I would use them. Okay, so I mean, this was before the green, clean beauty industry was like a thing, especially at Sephora. So some of the starter brands for me were like Boscia and Ole Henriksen and Kate Somerville and anything that had kind of like an indie like feel. I left Lancôme and the big box department store brands and I went to Sephora and started exploring these other products that seemed to be speaking my language, you know, by way of packaging and by way of like just what they were able to help with. And I probably had like a lineup of like 8 or 9 products. And it was great. And I would have some good days. And I think I saw some relief with some of those products. And then it just came back every month. It just came back. And I was fed up and I really didn't know where to turn. And so I think taking matters into my own hands and learning about the effects of oils that are non-comedogenic. So what I mean by that for people listening is like, if it's comedogenic, it clogs a pore. If it's non-comedogenic, it has the ability to penetrate and actually work below the epidermis.
Can I ask you a question about that?
Yeah.
Can brands write non-comedogenic on their bottles and still be comedogenic?
Oy. Well, okay. So if you're looking at regulation right now in terms of the FDA, there is no regulation. Can people do it? Yeah. Should they? No. Is there certain ingredients that are like immediate kind of, this can't be listed as non-comedogenic? If you have a certain ingredient awareness that I would like never expect just a normal consumer to have, like, I think the thing is with product, how can I say this? The only thing that the FDA really cares about is that the label is up to par. Mm. Okay. Now there's a lot of wiggle room in there. You need to have a brand name, a logo, what the product is, like a name, like Beauty Drops, and explain what that product is named. So a skin moisturizer. You need to say the net weight or the fluid ounces of the product. You need to say where it's made or distributed, which is usually the little address on the back that you see. And you need to have an ingredient deck. Where there's problems now in this industry as a whole is essentially it's use at your own risk. So I could put horse manure and urine on the back of a bottle. And if you wanted to buy it and use it, there's no liability for me whatsoever, because the only thing that the FDA requires of me is that whatever is in the bottle, I put on the bottle. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. So now all of that legislation is changing where you have to have a lot more transparency. So can you put non-comedogenic if the product has coconut oil in it? No, because coconut oil is comedogenic. And a lot of plant oils and like shea and castor oil and all of these things, they're all comedogenic and they can be wonderful for the skin, but you can't make that claim. excuse me. I'm surprised that this is the first time I'm coughing because I've literally been like the most congested pregnant person. Like acne, for example, the only things that can fight acne technically are drugs. So if you're saying that you have an acne cleanser and it's a beauty product or a cosmetic, essentially, you can't make that claim unless you register your product as a drug.
Interesting.
So like I can't say like acne wash or acne face oil because there aren't the ingredients in my beauty drops that happens to be a face oil are not listed as drugs. Mm-hmm. They're listed as cosmetics. So I'm not allowed to make that claim. You know, so there's a lot going on with the beauty industry right now where I like technically, and people do this all the time, you can't say nourish because nourish is to bring water into the skin and a moisturizer doesn't bring water into the skin. Mm. Hydrating versus moisturizing. I could go on and on. Like hydration is water in the skin and moisture is oil in the skin. So for people saying a hydrating moisturizer, you need to be adding water to the skin. I mean, it's like there's a lot of different things about the industry. It's always been built on the fact that it misleads people.
Yeah, and it's a lot of smoke and mirrors.
Absolutely. And it's always been built on the fact that we're meeting people from a place where everybody thinks that they already feel and look like shit. So it's like, use this mascara and your life will change. Use this and you'll finally, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, get the guy. I mean, honestly, it's like the messaging is, if you do this, you will feel beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I think that that will start to change, where people will just have a little bit more authenticity in terms of where they meet people now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And I think it's brands like yours and just like the green beauty push in general that is helping to make that, or to facilitate that shift, which is really cool. So, okay. So back to your 32 day, cause I'm really interested. I'm going to like do everything.
Yes. Some of it was internal. I think, I started therapy at the same time that I started clearing up my skin. And this might sound like completely in the clouds for a lot of people, but I think your listener will resonate with this, because we are, you know, trying to do our best spiritually too. But when you hold on to things emotionally, it creates acne. And I deeply, deeply believe that. Does that mean that we're ever a clean slate? No. Are we always going to be works in progress? Yes. But were there things that I wasn't even like announcing or talking about or wanting to get into in terms of my, you know, just upbringing and family of origin and things that were going on in my head as a young child that like I never really felt like I could kind of shift away from? Yeah, you know, and I think that acne comes at a time that maybe our thoughts are just as congested as our skin. And so I started therapy. I went once a week. It was amazing. I was able to talk out things, which, you know, helped with cortisol levels and helped with stress and gave me an outlet. I'm a firm believer in that. I limited my sugar, and sugar shows up everywhere. I mean, I wasn't just someone who was like, I'm just not going to eat fruit. Like I ate sugar. I would like go to the store and in, you know, my little snacks, I'd be like, ooh, maybe I'll get some gummy bears or maybe I'll get some Twizzlers. That all cut out.
Like the gluten-free cookies that I made last night. I'm like, yeah, they're fine. They're gluten-free. I'm like, but are they really?
I know, gluten-free. That's like if ever we get anything vegan, I'm like, that just means it's zero calories and it's made of air, right? And people are like, absolutely not. So I, you know, I cut a lot of sugar out and I cut dairy out. Mm-hmm. And those two things, while living in LA, you can go on a soapbox about what to cut out. I think those are the two most common flare like things that will lead to acne is dairy and sugar.
Were you doing caffeine? Were you doing the caffeine?
Now I'll have like a cup of coffee, but I was never a coffee drinker. Okay. And I never did green tea because caffeine always made me super anxious and jittery. So I would like have caffeine and then 6 hours later I'd be like, why am I having a panic attack? And my body metabolized it really slowly. And I just was like, not really on it.
Yeah.
But they have decaf green tea at Whole Foods. That's great. So if you want to get like, you want to get the benefits of green tea, but you don't want to do the caffeine, it can be very detoxifying. So like throwing in a tea at night or in the morning. Here I am talking about what you should be doing for your health. And I'm literally coughing like a 4-year-old. So, and then I took everything that I was using, makeup and skincare wise, and I stopped using it. Mm. Everything that I loved. I mean, it was like I had a kung fu grip on my foundation and my blush and my bronzers. And I was like this, well, it's not working for me. And I literally was like, I've tried everything. Why am I too proud to be able to give up all these things that I want to use, even if like I can't use them? So I started over and I used like a tinted moisturizer. I also changed my sunscreen. So I was using a sunscreen that had titanium dioxide in it, and that is very comedogenic. So I went to an old brand that like was around when I grew up called Kiss My Face.
I heard that.
I mean, it was like $7 at Whole Foods. I went zinc instead of titanium dioxide. Mm-hmm. Your skin can metabolize zinc a lot better. And so I changed my sunscreen. I got rid of all of my makeup brushes that had been just years and years of swirling into product. And like, I was using makeup brush cleaner, but it doesn't work as well as getting new brushes. And so I did that, and I became very active about the things that were touching my face. So I cleaned my pillowcases once a week. I kept my hands off my face, and I wiped my phone down at the end of every day.
I always forget to do that.
The phone. We're breathing into it. And I don't really, I think when the iPhone, like around that time, I was using the phone more as a phone. Like now, it's actually rare. I don't have that many phone calls these days.
Texting
like
texting everyone, voice memos.
Yeah, voice memos. So the phone is maybe less of a thing, but just, I mean, the amount of things that we were touching, you know, your steering wheel, your money, all of these things. Keep my dog licking my face. I mean, that's a whole other podcast. But yeah, I think
I won't give that one up.
No, I will not. Okay. So yeah, it was, I think, the culmination of a lot of different attempts to be mindful.
How do you use your beauty drops?
Oh, okay. So,
or just tell me about all the products.
I mean, it's all like, what I will tell you is once someone tries Skin Owl once, they, it's like a, it's whatever product they come into Skin Owl trying is the gateway drug to the rest of it. For me, it was, I tried so many products that didn't work, and I spent a shit ton of money on products that were supposed to work and didn't, that my vow in building Skin Owl was, if I'm going to introduce a product, it has to work, period. It has to work in a way that the majority will respond to it, not just on like 10 people.
Yeah.
It has to be like a game changer. So with the beauty drops, there's four of them. There's three for daytime, one for nighttime. You can use those essentially in place of a moisturizer. Lavender, geranium, clary sage, and Mackey berry. Those are the four beauty drops. Take out whatever moisturizer you're currently using, sub that in. There's an eye cream. There's a neck treatment. There's a body oil. There's some like actual beauty tools so you can help with lymphatic drainage, contouring. You know, if you suffer from fatigue or puffy face or any of these things, or you like to travel a lot or drink wine, or, you know what I mean, you're overworked, overstressed, the beauty tools are so awesome at just making your face look like your face again. And then we have bar soaps, which were instrumental in getting rid of my acne. I used Erno Laszlo's charcoal bar at the beginning of me like getting rid of my acne, and I would plug my sink with water, throw the bar into the sink, and then I would splash my face. I would use the bar, like bar to face, and just rub it kind of all over my face, not with my hands, throw the bar back in the plugged up sink of water, and then splash my face with the charcoal water and rinse. It's like an old technique, and I swear to God, it works.
It sounds like a mini spa treatment at your house, too.
It was awesome. So we have like four different, we have matcha, charcoal, turmeric, and tomato based on your different skincare concerns. And you literally like throw a plug your sink, throw the bar in it, let the water get murky, rinse your face, do a couple of splashes with the turmeric water, then use the bar to face for like 10, 15 seconds, and then splash your face with the turmeric water, drain, put the bar aside. That's the only way I wash my face now. There's no gel cleanser. There's no cream cleanser. There's no cleanse one, cleanse two. What? I literally just use that and it's awesome.
That sounds amazing.
And then other than that, we have our Beauty Whip, which is like our hero product. It's the Mackey Berry Beauty Whip. The Mackey Berry is an ingredient I found in Patagonia. It's essentially the number one fruit antioxidant in the world. And if you're dealing with hyperpigmentation, acne scarring, sunspots, fatigue, just uneven texture and tone.
Lather it on me.
It's literally like a Greek yogurt whip, and you can use it as an overnight mask. You can use it as a makeup primer, or you can use it as a moisturizer. Just use it. There's no way to fuck it up. And you can mix it into your drops too, if you need your beauty drops, if you need a little bit more moisture.
I love it. I love skincare so much.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. Okay. So for someone listening, that's like, okay, where do I start? Where do they start?
Okay. I would start with the beauty drops.
Swap lavender. Out your moisturizer.
Yeah.
Use the beauty drops instead. Once a day, twice a day?
Twice a day.
Okay.
So essentially you want to start with whichever is your, is like your habitual products.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So anything that you're using every day, take stock in that. If you're using something once a week or wait on that. But look at your cleanser, look at your serum, look at your moisturizer. Those are the main things. If you're dealing with body acne, look at your conditioner. Conditioner, if you're not rinsing well enough, will leave a nice little film on your back, and there's your back knee scenario right there. Also think about what you're sleeping in. How are you changing your sheets? Are you changing your sheets? Sleep in a cotton t-shirt that's clean.
Or period. Naked.
Yes, or naked.
Come on.
Just make sure like you have clean sheets or you're sleeping on a towel.
Mm-hmm.
And this is if you really want to like be super detective-y about it.
Yeah.
Do you wake up after sleeping on a towel and your back knee is better? You know what I mean? It's like you want to get, we want to get colder. It's like that kind of a thing. It's just like a compass.
Yeah.
So I would start with a moisturizer. The moisturizer is what sits on your face all day. Cleanser, you rinse off. Toner, usually not the culprit unless it's like a blast of salicylic acid, which is probably not happening. So I would start with a moisturizer. I would sub that out. And I would try a beauty drops, because I cannot tell you how many people with acne are like, that has single-handedly changed my skin. So I am going to be that asshole right now that's like, hey, you know what? Try the beauty drops because it works. And I wouldn't recommend it if it didn't.
Yeah.
And just start there. Just keep your cleanser. Keep your toner. Sub out your moisturizer. What do you see in your skin? One thing to note, sometimes you will go through a little bit of a purge. So sometimes your skin like will purge out all the gross stuff. Give it a week and it'll, if it doesn't go away, change the product.
Yeah, I think that we forget that too when we reintegrate it, or we integrate a new product, is that, yeah, there might be some time when you have some skin issues pop up. Like your skin does purge things. I mean, we think about it like with our own, like our health journeys, like with our gut or something like that. That's why they call it the healing crisis. So why would you not expect the same thing for your face as
Absolutely.
Well?
Absolutely. Yep.
So what are three things that listeners can do today to feel more confident in their skincare routine and just their overall life?
Yeah, I think number one is understanding that this will pass. And I think that when you're in the thick of it, it's hard to think of life or your skin getting better, but it will. And I promise that it will. There's things going on with your hormones that need time to regulate. The second thing is, talking about hormones, is getting a real hormone panel done. Mm-hmm. You can go to a blood, the little, what are they called, like Quest, like the places that essentially you can just go in and take blood. You can go to a naturopath, or you can go to your general physician and ask for a blood test that runs your hormone panel every week for 4 weeks. A lot of times, your doctor will do your blood and they'll say, oh, your estrogen's a little bit high, or your testosterone's a little bit low. But you don't know where you are in your cycle, so maybe your estrogen should be a little high. Do it once a week. Do it the week that you get your period, then the week after, then the week after, then the week after. And look at where the levels are. Is your progesterone where it should be before you get your period? Is your estrogen where it should be on your cycle? Like, you can't rule out that hormones are playing a part in your skin unless you do an accurate blood reading.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a wonderful doctor, if you're here in LA, Dr. Petra Dorfsman. And I can pass along her email address to anybody who wants to email us. But she can analyze that blood work, and she's awesome. And if you're out of LA, I'm sure she can make recommendations. And the third thing is to, I mean, honestly, just scale back on your products. Less is more. Mm-hmm. And incorporate one new one at a time.
I love it. Annie, thank you so much for coming on. So where can
people
find you?
You can find us on Instagram at Skin Owl if you want the skincare love, at The Parliament Project LA if you want to come to a dinner, and at Off the Record with you if you want to listen to our podcast. And other than that, skinowl.com.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Your privacy. What happens here will never leave this room. So lock the door, put me in, put a finger to my lips, 'cause I can't say I've got what I would do. Off the record with you.